Is it Sunday yet? Almost. Welcome into the Almost Sunday Fantasy Football Podcast. I'm Derek, and I've got the Not Your Average Joes back in the building, or should I say, on the Zoom recording. We got Joe Bellinger, we got Joe Mason. The gang is back together for the first time in what feels like forever. I mean, this guy Joe has been publishing articles for the Fantasy Footballers now, and we haven't even had him on the show since we found that out. So,
Yeah.
how the heck are you guys doing?
Doing well. We got a couple articles up with the footballers so far. I've absolutely loved working with them. Can't wait to get some real football going. We're about a month away until we'll have our redraft fantasy drafts coming up. But I'm really stoked for the season coming up, and I'm really stoked to be back on the podcast with you guys. How you doing, Mason?
Yeah, doing good. I appreciate you guys helping me get into the Scott Fishbowl. I'm having a blast so far with that. And yeah, I got my buddies hitting me up already, like, hey, when are we going to do our redraft league draft? So I'm getting excited for that. And I got one keeper league also that that I do as well. So yeah, I'm excited as we approach the Hall of Fame game. I think is 3 weeks away or maybe less. So it's
Well,
coming up soon.
yeah, Yahoo started sending their auto renewals. So I started getting those emails saying, hey, your league has been renewed for this season. And then, yeah, some of the group chats start going because people are getting those emails and reminding them that fantasy football is just around the corner.
Do you guys prefer to have like all your redraft leagues on one like all on Sleeper, or do you like to diversify a little bit? Like I have like let's say like if there was like three redraft leagues, I love having like one Sleeper, one Yahoo, one ESPN, so it's all on different apps. But I know that's kind of weird.
I've been consolidating. I want them all on Sleeper.
Yeah.
ESPN, I'm in one dynasty right now. And I hate it because I don't even want to open the app.
The
Because
Sleeper's elite. Yeah.
elite is an understatement compared to the likability of the interface
It
compared
is.
to like ESPN. I switched everything over to that except for a couple leagues I'm in on Yahoo that someone else created, and I'm not gonna get them to switch because they're old school.
Yeah, I've got like five sleeper leagues now, which is like overwhelming me a little bit. I feel like on Sunday it's gonna overwhelm me, and then I think of like how many Mason must have.
Let me just say,
Probably
thank God I'm not on
has like
MFL.
Yeah, I can't do that again.
I
I was gonna.
got in. I think we're all on Sleeper for Scott Fishbowl. Thank
Yep.
God. Because my fantasy league, God bless them, I guess they were like pioneers. And I mean, they were the platform for Scott Fishbowl for a while. But it is just not friendly to look at or use or chat. You can't chat with your league. I guess you could make like a message board or something, but
Yeah.
I mean, it's not 2000 anymore.
They walked so Sleeper can run.
Yeah. Man, but so much has changed in the last 3 weeks since we last recorded, Joe Mason and I. I'm recording from my daughter's bedroom right now because new job, new digs. And so if we have any different sound for this episode, we're going to work out some kinks if we got any. So bear with us. But we got some NFL news to talk about. Some signings. I mean, it's been a bit. We got some signings. We got some rumors going on. We had some news break today. Joe Beldner's his darling in Dynasty in a bit of hot water right now in Minnesota.
Oh yeah, drove a little too fast by a little. That's a
I mean, who are we
big
talking about?
understatement.
You gotta tell us who you're
Yeah, so
talking about first, yeah.
Jordan Addison was clocked going 140 miles per hour in a 55, I believe it was. And it's funny because just out of the blue this morning, I was like, oh, like I kind of want Jahmyr Gibbs on my fantasy team. Like I'm looking to rebuild at the running back position in like next year's rookie draft, but like maybe try to get a little head start. So I offered Mason a trade involving Addison on my side, and he ended up rejecting it. And like I think 2 hours later, I saw the
Yeah.
report about the speeding ticket. So yeah, I feel pretty rejected.
that was funny. It was a good offer, Joe. I was telling Joe that I'm not this hard to trade with, I promise, but I just have so many guys on this dynasty team that I really like. So it's hard to move them.
When you think similarly to like another league mate, like I know you and I have like several opinions where we align, it becomes even harder to trade because like obviously if I'm looking to get this trade done, like I see the advantage on my side. So it's kind of hard to line up like that.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and then we're actually managing a dynasty team together, the three of us, and Joe Beldner and I were chatting on the side about how hard it is to really come up with trade ideas when each of us have our guys. And so when the other one of us is kind of stepping on toes to make offers with someone else's dude, it becomes tough to come to consensus. And specifically, we're talking about trading for Stephon Diggs, and Jahan Dotson was one of the guys thrown out as including in the package. And
That's my dude.
A deal went down with someone else. That was a decent deal for both sides, I guess. It's hard to keep track. Willie's just absolutely tanking in one league, but I think he's trying to win in this one. So it's kind of hard to keep track of when he has very stark contrasted strategies.
Yeah.
Because he's the one who traded for Diggs.
Yeah, the trade was Willie got Stephon Diggs, and he gave up to Dennis. Dennis got DJ Moore, and then Willie's 24 third and 25 third.
Yeah, right. I mean, Willie trading away his own picks, that's just unheard of.
I mean, I kind of disregard the thirds, and if we're looking straight up at Diggs versus Moore, like obviously if you're trying to go all in this year, I'm expecting Diggs to have a much better year, like finish the year as a wide receiver one. Again, where like DJ Moore, I see the upside, and he's younger, but he's actually not that young, isn't he? He's probably approaching like
he's 26.
Yeah. So he still has probably like four really solid years left, but that Chicago offense would have to pass the ball a lot, and Fields would have to take a step up.
He's still a wild card. Awesome. I mean, he's on a new team. Doesn't always translate. Last year we were blessed with guys that move teams and just still smashed, but that's not always been the precedent.
Nope.
I think we get caught up in seeing Devontae Adams and Tyreek Hill have huge years on new squads, but that's not always the case when you have these players move teams. Another guy, speaking of moving teams, DeAndre Hopkins finally off the board in terms of free agency, going to the Tennessee Titans. I almost said New England Patriots because that was the rumor. But what does that mean for our perception of Treylon Burks in not only redraft but also dynasty right now?
For me, at least. Yeah, I was going to say, for me at least, I think it's a great time to go buy Treylon Burks.
Mm-hmm.
Hopkins is 31. I mean, he's always been good as long as he's been in the league. But I've seen people talk about it on Twitter where, like, Tennessee Titans are the team that wide receivers go to die. You know, like Julio Jones and others. So, yeah, I just, you know, a 2-year deal I think is perfect for Hopkins. He'll probably have another good year, hoping that Tannehill can stay healthy. But I don't know. After that, I'm not too worried about it, you know.
Yeah, also Chigakonkwo, because those were the two guys that we were really looking at for the season. I know all three of us were really excited for Treylon Burks and Chigakonkwo taking that step forward, really just based on volume, because you have two athletic freaks, Treylon with the draft capital, Chig, you know, he's huge and he's super fast for the position. So like everything really aligned athletically. But I consider them both buys. I know Derek in our dynasty league has Treylon Burks.
Yeah, and D-Hop.
Yeah, and D-Hop. Which, so that's not ideal.
No.
But I have Chigakonkwo, and you know, both of them are Chig and Treylon are both 23 years old. I don't like, obviously this year for redraft, it lowers their ceiling a whole bunch, but I think their floor might be decent. Chig worse than Treylon, because I feel like Treylon's gonna eat up more of a market share playing alongside Hopkins. Like for Chig, you're probably gonna need a touchdown, but I consider both them buys, and I would look at this buy low opportunity in dynasty and hop on it if someone's scared away by the signing of D-Hop, because like you said, he's older and he just signed where we've seen several wide receivers go at the end of their career and die.
I'm not totally out. I mean, We only have the past to compare to, and history says that the Tennessee Titans are not going to pass the ball a lot. But, I mean, who knows? Maybe they just decide, we got two really good wide receivers now. We're going to take some of the load off Derrick Henry and throw the ball. We don't know. We're not game planning these teams. They're trying to win football games. And so if they fall into a trend of only doing this thing because that's what they've always done, then they're not going to win football games. So who knows? I mean, Ryan Tannehill has been able to support A.J. Brown before in the past. I think we're quick to forget that Tannehill was barely healthy most of the season last year. We had Malik Willis come in.
Like 12 games.
Yeah, I mean, and he probably wasn't healthy in some of those. Malik Willis came in. He sucked. So you throw that out as far as passing volume. I think he threw it like, what, six times or something one game?
Yeah.
It was just, it was a joke of an offensive game plan with him. He was totally inept. And then they had Josh Dobbs play one game, which, I mean, he's a journeyman. Good for him. He's getting paid. He's getting that paycheck. But he's certainly not an NFL starting caliber quarterback. And so I kind of throw out last season a bit in terms of tendencies. And maybe that's my rose-colored glasses, thinking that Treylon Burks can still be relevant. But I'm not totally out on either of these guys. I think if the offense can improve from a touchdown standpoint, they are going to be boom or bust a lot of the times because the volume probably isn't going to be there consistently. But the Titans are in a pretty easy division. So they play six games against teams that aren't great. I mean, like the Jaguars are good, but they're not scary on defense.
No.
The Texans are not scary at all. The Colts aren't scary to me anymore. So you have the opportunity to, hey, maybe score 21, 28 points a game against these divisional opponents, and you're not going to be totally left in the dust because I think you're going to see both these guys' ADP fall to a point where they might be values where they're going.
And if there's one thing that kind of scares me away, it's that you look at like Treylon Burks last year. I think he was like in the 300s for receiving yards. He had a mixed bag of injuries. Only one receiving touchdown, which is the same that Jameson Williams had on that one catch that he had on the season. But, you know, this just delays his breakout. And since we're not getting the breakout now, you have Tannehill on the back end of his career. I'm not a Will Levis believer. So if he's in the future plans as their quarterback, there seems to be a lot of uncertainty moving forward and then a delay in a breakout. So that kind of scares me off just a bit. But I think at the same time, that's probably trying to look too into the future and predict things because things change all the time in the league. But if there was one thing kind of scaring me away from buying in, it's probably that.
They got a new offensive coordinator also. They promoted, I think it was Tim Kelly, their passing game coordinator. So yeah, we'll see what happens. I still like Burks a lot.
I mean, from a player standpoint, it can't hurt to learn some things from DeAndre Hopkins.
Yeah, exactly. Absolutely.
Yeah.
To progress your career.
They needed a veteran real bad.
Oh, yeah.
Robert Woods wasn't doing it last year. No offense to Robert Woods.
Guys that changed teams. Robert Woods went to Houston. For some reason, I had it in my head that he went back to the Rams. And then I was like, oh, wait, he's on the Houston Texans.
Speaking of guys who I forgot,
like who they even went to, who does DJ Chark play for? Can you tell me on the top of your head?
Carolina.
Yeah. Because I was looking at guys and I took Adam Thielen late in the Scott Fish Bowl and then DJ Chark went later and I thought, wait a second, he's on Carolina too. Hayden Hurst season.
He snuck his way over there.
Yeah. I don't know what kind of deal he got. Anyway, any other news or notes? We saw some people get added to the PUP list, which everyone kind of runs around crazy, panicking, but this is the off season. It's training camp, so they can be activated at any point.
I think you brought up a really like awesome point in our group chat when you were talking with Willie and Goonies about just like, I think when people see these reports about the PUP during right now versus at the start of the season, people are going to overreact, but like, somebody like Breece Hall, for instance, like, it, you know, a lot of these guys are expected. They're just doing their normal recovery and they could be taken off the PUP at any time to start practicing. So if you see them getting put on the PUP right now, I wouldn't really overreact.
So, you didn't even mention the players, but Kendre Miller's on it. And who else got CJ Uzomah is pretty irrelevant. But we also saw another Hendon running Hooker. Back. Yeah.
Pacheco.
Oh, yeah. Isaiah Pacheco.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. running back, Saquon Barkley, Josh Jacobs, they did not get signed to the franchise tenders. What do you think of, like, 50? Nah, I mean, give me the percent. What are the chances that Saquon doesn't play week one? I don't think any of us know for sure, but what does your gut say?
I want to say like 35 to 40% right now. I'm like a little, like, I'm not like totally worried, but I was worried enough when we were doing the Scott Fishbowl that I was kind of avoiding both players. Just, I know that was like a little bit before the time, but like, you know, yeah. we had like the,
I took him and
the contracts up in the air. Yeah. Did you?
Yeah.
I mean, I'm scarred from Le'Veon Bell. I got a little bit ripped that year, when he sat out the season. So, I'm a little bit nervous, but, hopefully, you know, they saw that financially it didn't make much sense when Le'Veon Bell sat out the year. And he regrets it. He came out and said that he regretted it. So,
did you see his analogy, though, that he gave?
What'd he say?
He said that Disney, his, like, I don't know how he framed it, but he's basically like, Disney taught me about the running back situation in 1990, what was it, 1998 or something, when The Bug's Life came out.
Oh, yeah, I saw
and
this.
He is Flick, the ant. And he got taken advantage of by the grasshopper owners, and that he is the person that the running backs need to rally around and follow, because he's basically, that's making it, I mean, he's saying that he was right all along.
Mm-hmm. I think he has mixed feelings.
The brunt of it.
Yeah, mixed feelings. I wanted to ask you guys, because we were talking about Isaiah Pacheco. Excluding him from the mix, because when we're looking at late round running backs in our draft, I know a lot of people like the like zero running back or just hero running back ideas. Who do you like, CEH versus Jerick McKinnon this year? I've been personally more of a Jerick McKinnon guy. I, you know, his usage down the stretch, I know he's super old, but I've been leaning more towards him. But what are you guys feeling?
Yeah, I lean McKinnon as well. I just don't think Andy Reid and the Chiefs really trust CEH. And yeah, I mean, McKinnon at the end of the year, he was awesome. Like, I don't know how high up he was, but like, I had a stacked roster against my brother in a dynasty league, and he beat me with Jerick McKinnon.
Mm-hmm.
And that
Jerick McKinnon is one of those players where he's consistently good, and I just still don't believe in him every week.
Yeah.
It just feels wrong to put him in the lineup. It just feels like you don't have firepower when you throw him in.
I loved him in Minnesota.
I know.
I just, no, I don't mean, Murray. I mean on the Chiefs.
Yeah.
He kept proving me wrong, but I just couldn't get behind it.
Well, the Chiefs are weird.
He defies
the
idea. Yeah.
Outside of Kelsey, it's like really hard to predict. So like, I kind of feel the same way. I didn't really have him on a team last year, but I would feel like iffy before the game started, if this would be a game that he would go off, or if it would be a game that they wouldn't utilize him. But
yeah, do you guys remember, not last year, but the year before, it was Daryl Williams who like was awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It just like that Daryl Williams, Jerick McKinnon, whoever's in that role is like gonna have some pretty big games and like produce.
Mm-hmm. And I was fine starting Daryl Williams.
Yeah,
it's something about Jerick McKinnon that
it's
I just
not doing
can't
it for
get
you.
Behind him.
He holds the record in a bench press at the combine for a running back.
Running back.
We forgot to mention, though, that Joseph Mason is on the main Spike Week Scott Fishbowl page because he took the latest running back.
I almost forgot about that. Yeah.
The latest running back won.
Update, I've taken 6 straight running backs since my first one. But
you know the names?
Yeah, like the running backs I've taken?
Yeah.
Kendra Miller, Devin Singletary, Ezekiel Elliott, Raheem Mostert, Leonard Fournette, Kareem Hunt. So
awesome.
You got Lenny and Zeke too. So did I. It just felt like too good of a chance to take.
Yeah. If the chances of two of those guys panning out seems pretty high.
Well, I think Zeke goes back to them, the Cowboys. Yeah. So, you know.
Which, I mean, that I took Malik Davis too.
Yeah, and even if these guys like don't pan out right away, I mean, you never know with running backs. You could have a starter go down, and
mm-hmm.
all of a sudden, these guys are the 3-down back, you know, because they're veterans and they know how to how to be running backs in the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, we'll see.
All right, you want to take a break from the news and play a little game with us, Joe Mason?
Yeah, so I came up with two of Who's That Player. So I basically will walk us through some hints, and I'll pause in between each hint I give you guys, and then I'll let both of you let me know when you're ready that you feel like you know who the player is and can guess. So there's two of them. So I'll start with the easier one, which I think is easier.
Both are currently in the NFL?
Both of them are currently in the NFL.
Okay. Yes.
So, all right, first one up. Hint number one. This player was drafted in the sixth round of the 2015 NFL draft by the Baltimore Ravens. So, doesn't give you a whole lot here, but this is how I'm starting out this one. The second one is going to give you
because we don't know that it's a position. We don't know the position or anything?
Not yet. Not for this
No.
One.
Mm-hmm. Okay, sixth round Baltimore Ravens.
Mm-hmm. 2015.
Yep. So there's a ton of players, obviously. You guys ready for the next one? Okay. This player was a wide receiver earlier in his career, and then he converted to tight end.
What? Okay.
Yeah, I still don't got it.
So he was a receiver in college. He was a receiver with the Ravens when he first started. And then later in his career, he ended up converting to tight end. Yeah.
Oh, I know the answer.
Do you?
Yeah.
Do you want to guess, Derek?
Darren Waller.
Yes, you got it.
Waller the baller.
Let's
That's
go.
Awesome. Good job, Derek. So most people don't know that he was with the Ravens, and then I know he took a year off of football to deal with some personal stuff, but then, the Raiders took him under their wing and converted him to tight end, and he did awesome after that. So,
you know, I didn't know that he was a wide receiver, but I just was thinking about that Ravens, and then when he said tight end, I was like, okay, 8 years in the league, technically. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, so I'm just going to read through the rest of the hints I had for him. But he led his team in targets in 2019 and 2020, and he had two top five finishes at his position. So that was at the tight end position in 2019 and 2020.
Ooh, I got it. I know who it is.
The other hints I had was he was on his third NFL team entering his eighth season. And then number five, which would give it away, is he was traded to the New York Giants this offseason. So Darren Waller. Good job, Darren.
Okay, so the next one, we'll like lock in answers. We'll DM Joe Mason on the Zoom chat to lock in our answer. So that way, if one of us gets it early, we can see who wins.
Cool. So let's do the next one. That's a good idea. So if you have an idea who it is, throw it in the chat, and I'll let you know if you got it. So, all right, this next player, this one's a little bit harder, but I think you guys can get it. So this player was a part of the impressive 2017 rookie running back class.
Okay.
Do you guys remember who was a part of that?
Big John.
So, Derek, it's the year after Ezekiel Elliott's. You had all these guys. It's one of the best running backs.
Still getting drafted early.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So this, I know 2017 is the season the Eagles won the Super Bowl, but I couldn't tell you which running backs were rookies.
Yeah. All right.
Okay.
Next, hint number two. This player has finished as a running back one in PPR. Four seasons out of six total. And in the two seasons that he did not play a full season due to injury.
Okay. I mean, it feels like you're baiting us right now. I have a guess, but
I want to hear one more.
It feels too obvious. So yeah. I don't want to lock it in.
Okay. Should I read the next hint?
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. So hint number three. This player has played on two different NFL teams.
Got it.
Okay. I just don't know what year they were drafted. But, I mean, my guess, I don't want to lock it in because Joe has his answer. He already submitted it.
My bad. I should have just sent it to Mason.
Yeah, he sent it to everyone. But, that wasn't my guess. But give me another hint.
Yeah. So, next hint up.
There we go. This player has been involved in the passing game, receiving at least 80 targets in 3 out of 6 years in the NFL.
Okay, now, okay.
I still feel good.
All right. I think it's someone else now.
Yeah.
Were either of us right? Because my initial thought was like, is he just giving us Christian McCaffrey?
Oh, that'd be crazy.
I don't know what year he was drafted exactly.
I don't think it was 17.
But so, everything you just said, if he was drafted in 2017, that all applies to Christian McCaffrey. And I just got it wrong because my guess has only been on one team. So I don't know why I forgot that clue.
Oh, he was on two?
No, Carolina. I guessed Alvin Kamara.
Oh, okay.
So, Derek, do you want to guess?
Christian McCaffrey.
You're going to guess Christian McCaffrey?
Yeah.
Okay, so Joe got it right.
Okay. Woo.
After three, what I can tell you guys is the first three questions all apply to CMC and Lenny.
Okay. Feel as dumb. I don't feel so dumb.
So, CMC, he's got like, I think like 4 out of his 6 years, he's had like over 100 targets or something. It's ridiculous. So, this one was tough because, like I said, they apply to some of those apply to two different running backs, but. Number five, my hit number five was he's currently a free agent, so that would probably giving it away. That it's
and if Leonard he gets Fournette. Signed, then the two teams thing is done.
Yeah. So the 2017 running back draft class, let me just read
was
some
Alvin
of these
Kamara
guys.
One of those two though?
Yeah. So like in 2017, here's the running back class.
Fournette was taken first, right? Like he was taking the first running back overall.
Lenny, yeah, he was taken fourth overall by the Jaguars.
CMC like sixth,
eighth.
Yeah, so the running back class from 2017 was Dalvin Cook, Leonard Fournette, Christian McCaffrey, Joe Mixon, Alvin Kamara, Kareem Hunt, James Conner, Jamal Williams, Samaje Perine also was in there. Marlon Mack. Everyone loves Marlon Mack.
Man.
What a heck of a class, right? Like
Marlon Mack's got to feel like the ugly steps this year.
even crazy. Deontay Foreman was in this class.
Really? Too. I didn't realize he was that old.
Mm-hmm.
So you know what I've been having trouble with is I've been playing just fantasy in general since like later years of college, I would say, is when I first started. So, like, all of, like, the really good players that we were drafting back then, like, my first ever draft pick in fantasy football was DeAndre Hopkins.
Oh, heck
and,
yeah.
Like, so that was, like, my dude. Like, I was so stoked. I remember I had, like, the 8th pick in that draft, and he went off that season for the Texans. But I've been having a really tough time with, like, you know, like, the new wave. Where, like, you're kind of, like you're almost getting old in a way.
Yeah.
In the sense that, like, you know, you have to get used to all these new guys coming in and you're like, okay, like these aren't going to be the guys. And we've seen it happen already with like Julio Jones and like some of the guys that we were so accustomed to. And like Antonio Brown was really awesome when I started, but like, it's just so hard to like see these guys that you've gotten so accustomed to being like the faces of fantasy football, like just, you know, finish their careers. Like when Travis Kelce retires, which is coming pretty soon, like what a devastating thing. Like him and Christian McCaffrey is just going to, that's going to kill me. Like, that's all I know about fantasy football.
Jamal
like
Charles was one of my favorites. Yeah. When I really started to take fantasy football seriously, Jamal Charles was a beast.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, I had we had one keeper, and I had Antonio Brown like 5 straight years.
Glory
I just kept him every year.
That is
and
awesome.
He finished top 5 like every year.
He was unreal.
He was incredible. But I didn't win any championships with him. I lost every year.
Todd Gurley.
I think I actually won him finally.
He was so good.
For like 3 years.
You forget so quickly, too, about some of these guys.
Jay Ajayi. Kind of
yeah.
Jay Ajayi, 2017.
I had him on a few teams.
He got traded to the Eagles, won the Super Bowl, and then just like sailed off into the sunset, never to be heard from again. Yeah. Now he's like a rapper.
Is he really?
Yeah, his handle's like Rude Boy Finesse.
I'm probably not going to listen.
Jay Ajayi, I mean, actually, no, Jay Ajayi has a nice voice. He has a British accent.
Oh, yeah, he does. I forgot about that. Like, LeGarrette Blount was sick with the Eagles.
Yeah. And, he won back-to-back Super Bowls with the two different teams.
Was it with the Pats that he led the league in touchdowns?
Yeah, and then he went to the Eagles. He won the Super Bowl with the Pats in 2016 season.
Mm-hmm.
And then he went to the Eagles for 2017, won another Super Bowl.
Didn't Chris Long do that too?
Yeah, same team.
Yeah.
Oh, a lot of throwback names coming out right now.
I know.
Yeah, I've been getting like really, really stoked recently for the season. Like, I don't know about you guys, but I would say like within like the last week, all of a sudden it's like starting to feel real. Maybe it's because I started that show Quarterbacks on Netflix.
I was about to say, have you guys watched Quarterback?
No, I need to, but I know Hard Knocks is coming up for Joe's team also. I always wanted my team to be on Hard Knocks too.
I'm pretty stoked. I was going to try to get practice tickets, and I forgot the morning of. And then I found out that literally every single – I think there was like five practices that were getting sold. They sold out within 3 minutes. So
wow.
I'm not sure if I would have had a chance anyway.
So, I mean, this is a family-friendly show and all. So I think the language that I used to Joe about Kirk Cousins is appropriate enough that I said Kirk Cousins is the most – missionary with the lights on guy they could have chosen to make a documentary about.
Dude, shut your ears.
Hey, I didn't say what that is. I mean,
oh, he's a church missionary.
But, oh my gosh. There was a scene I was texting Joe live. I was like, this is just so boring that he's out in the campfire with his family. And he made a fire and like a spark or an ember like went and it burnt his sweatshirt. And he was like, oh, this is my favorite sweatshirt. And then the wife was like, hey, kids, daddy's on fire. Ha ha ha. And he was clearly not on fire. Like the ember just burned through his shirt.
It's wholesome.
And I just felt so much secondhand embarrassment for what I was watching.
I'll have to check it out.
The best was, I think it was in episode 2 when they showed him in the choir.
I think that like Kirk Cousins and his wife probably won't watch this show because of Patrick Mahomes swearing in it.
Maybe. Yeah, it's a wild difference between
the
two.
They sent him
the
edited version of just his story.
What I've loved is like just watching the difference in the, like, you could really feel the difference in the organizations. Like, you see like Mahomes like firing up his team and like they just seem so intense on the football field. And then like the Vikings, you know, they started off the year right, but like it's just like it's a totally different feel from the Chiefs. And then you have
Won 13 games.
Yeah, crazy. And then Marcus Mariota and Atlanta Falcons. It seems like so unorganized to me.
Oh
like,
man,
like,
I actually
no one's
felt
like
bad.
Really into it.
I was on episode 2. I think it was 2. I've only gone through 2, or I haven't even finished 2. But Mariota, like, he fumbled in week 1, and they lost the game. And then, or in week 2, and then it's week 3, and they're trying to like burn out the clock, and he fumbles the handoff with Algier, and they're about to lose again, and he was like, he was so defeated on the sideline, it felt like sounded like he was gonna cry.
It was brutal.
But they won, so.
Not to give anything away.
Much consolation.
But in like the next game.
Wait! Don't tell me who wins the Super Bowl.
In the next game, he has like that game where he went like 13 for 14 against, I want to say it was like the 49ers defense. It was just so crazy because, like, of course, they were hyping him up for like so much accuracy. But like, that just goes to show how little that team threw the ball.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
You know, 14 times. Like, damn.
I mean, Desmond Ridder threw what, one touchdown, or did he not even throw one?
I know
he threw zero interceptions.
I feel like Drake London might have got one from him.
Okay. Kyle Pitts connection. They never even had a game together.
No.
Pitts and London won't really take off unless they get rid of Arthur Smith. I think they need a new offensive mind.
Agreed. I'm like really not in on Kyle Pitts. I see a lot of people are like doing it again. You know, like we had it happen last year. I remember
it's been radio silent though. They haven't talked about his recovery.
No,
nothing.
We were recording an episode like during the football, before this football season last year, I remember. And like, it was right after like Mariota hit Pitts for like a 40 yard, like crazy catch in a preseason game. And I was just like watching it. And I was like, you know, Pitts is so good. Like maybe this is a decent pick. Luckily I didn't draft into any of my teams, But I see it happening again. Like, a lot of people and a lot of opinions that I really respect, like, they seem to be in on Kyle Pitts, and like, I will absolutely not have him on a single team. Like, I could kind of
still the mystery box.
He is,
because he got hurt. Mm-hmm. You're still wondering, okay, maybe he would have figured it out.
Yeah. 1,000-yard rookie season health bet.
My deep, like, hopeful Kyle Pitts projection, and this might sound bad, but, like, maybe he doesn't have a good year and the Falcons don't do his fifth-year option, and he goes to replace Travis Kelce in Kansas
City.
Oh,
my God.
Unreal.
The NFL, maybe someday. I can't see. How could GMs let that happen?
I would lose my mind.
I'm holding on to the bag, man.
How can GMs let that happen?
How old is he, Kyle Pitts?
He's like 22 or something.
He's so young. He's so young.
It's like every year when the NFL draft comes and the best team's at the bottom of the first, they always get some amazing guy that falls. And you're like, how did the NFL let this happen?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm biased, but I'm like, how did the NFL let Nolan Smith fall to the Eagles?
Yep. I know. You guys had a good draft. You had a really good draft.
The Georgia Eagles.
Sorry if you can hear little kids in the background.
It adds to the show.
They also agree, Derek, the Eagles had a good draft.
Is there any players that you guys have been rising on at all?
Let me look.
Trying to think off the top of my head. I mean, I've loved Jahan Dotson the whole offseason, but that quarterback situation is the only thing that's scaring me away. I really hope that Jacoby Brissett ends up winning it during the preseason, but I kind of doubt it. I feel like they want to give Sam Howell a shot because they know what Jacoby Brissett is. But I really, really, really love Nick Chubb for this year. Like, we'll see if they add anybody else, but, like, you know, they got rid of Kareem Hunt, and Jerome Ford's the only other running back there. I think that this could be the year that we see Nick Chubb catch more passes than he ever has. And I think if you just add that element with the offense looking better, because Deshaun Watson has to look better this season, I just think that Nick Chubb could really finish as a top three running back. So he's been a guy that, like, I almost enjoy picking at the end of the first round this year, because I love just going running back, starting off with Nick Chubb, because I really think that he's kind of going ignored. Because you guys remember the first half of the season, he was like,
he was RB1. He was killing it.
If he flipped the switch, like if he finished RB1 to the second half of the season, like, I think he would just be on everyone's mind right now. But because he was in the beginning, I could hardly speak whenever Derek does facial expressions, because there's a lot going on.
There's a baby in my peripheral.
You're all good. But
here she comes.
I think that if he had that RB1 finish at the second half of the year versus the first half, he'd be like on everyone's mind. But it's because he started off so hot and then he cooled down a little bit once Deshaun was there. I think that he's going a little bit more ignored than he should be, and he's going to have an awesome year. Oh, we got a cute baby on the screen.
Oh, that's awesome.
That's Winnie. Derek, that's Winnie.
Yeah, this is Winnie. Go ahead, Winnie. Record yourself. But anyway,
who should I
think
draft?
For me? Yeah, Miles Sanders has a great opportunity in Carolina, and they've really been hyping him up.
Mm-hmm.
So I could see a world. I mean, he was the RB10 in standard, and RB15 in PPR. So a little bit in the middle for half, and. I mean, every opportunity is there for him if he can put it all together. I think he went a little bit under the radar last year. Everyone assumed that, oh, Miles Sanders, he falls down every game and gets hurt. And mm-hmm. while that is a little bit true as an Eagles fan, they paid him. Not many running backs are getting paid right now, and it wasn't an exorbitant amount that he got paid, but he actually secured a contract that's for more than 1 year, and that's pretty rare right now in the RB landscape. And so... I think that the opportunity is there for Miles Sanders. I don't think that he's really going crazy in ADP right now, and you can pick up a value there if you're willing to wait on running back. And Joe Beldner and I couldn't be further from the strategies when it comes to the early rounds. He's always like robust running back, RB, RB.
Mm-hmm.
I'd be hard-pressed to take more than one. I might take one in the second, or
yeah.
I'm not going to – I'm not going to really push RB, especially if I'm like on a turn or something.
When before, like we had like the Cooper Kupp, Justin Jefferson years that we've seen recently, I used to be RB. So my first three picks is almost definitely running back.
Yeah.
But I've kind of switched it up again. But I got to be honest, like with the wide receiver position, it's really just about like how we look at tier-based drafting for me. And running backs, you know, you only have one running back, really, like one RB1 on a team. I know the footballers, they call it, what were they calling it on the show recently? I can't think about what they were calling it, but they had a name, onesies. Like onesies. The quarterback and tight end, but like running backs really like kind of a bit of a onesie. Mm-hmm. But you know, you have three wide receivers on the field. It's just a much deeper position. So the teams that I usually build, I like to have like really, really solid running backs. Sure, they get hurt, so it's a little bit of an unpredictable, risky position. But I love having like just being stacked at running back, then just having like a clear wide receiver one, and then just figuring it out for the rest of the receivers. Team I won the championship last year, I kind of punted the position. Like I started Devontae Parker as my wide receiver two. It was a 14-team league to start off the year. But I had Garrett Wilson just like sitting on the bench, a couple other guys that were like kind of similar. And then, you know, year goes by, Garrett Wilson starts having some crazy games to end the year. So I think that wide receiver is just an easier position to fill. And that's kind of why I like to be really, really heavy on running backs early, because the top guys always go early.
We don't really talk much about league settings that often, where we want to say that we are operating mostly on a half PPR basis. Mm-hmm. But the difference between a lineup that starts three wide receivers as a requirement versus two, you do have to consider it a bit when you're in these mm-hmm. drafts, when you're composing your squads. And I mean, I won one league last year, and it was the weirdest settings, and I exploited it. It was like the Scott Fishbowl. It was 0.25 per rush attempt. You only mm-hmm. had to start one of each position, one quarterback. Sorry.
That's all right.
Good. if anyone's made it this far into the podcast, yeah. God bless.
One quarterback, one running back, one wide receiver, one tight end, and then we had kickers and defenses. But anyway, I think three or four flexes. Mm-hmm. I started four running backs because everyone was just grabbing wide receivers, and you got to let the draft fall to you sometimes.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
These guys that were going to have a ton of volume on the ground were just falling to me. And so I just kept taking them, and all of a sudden my lineup is just stacked with Nick Chubb, I think Christian McCaffrey, like Josh Jacobs. They were all on my team.
Unreal.
And I just kind of cobbled together wide receiver position with Amari Cooper, and I was able to win. I even drafted Kyle Pitts, for God's sake, and I overcame that.
Yeah. I've told you guys this too in the past. Like the biggest thing that really had me with a big advantage during draft time is when I started writing down the ADP on a piece of paper and just highlighting all the players that I like mm-hmm. and sorting the colors out by position. So it's like wide receiver, I like yellow, running back, I like green, tight end, I like blue, you know, and whatever for quarterback. And by doing that, you know, like I cross off the names as they're getting drafted. I'm just looking at Winnie as I'm talking, but I'm crossing off the names as they're getting drafted. And then, you know, you see like, okay, like I'm torn between this running back and this wide receiver I really like, but I know in like two rounds, there's wide receiver, like a Brandon Ayuk that I could get who like he could slide in as my wide receiver too. And I'd be stoked. So doing that really, really helps me. And I've been doing it for about like three or four seasons now. And like, I kind of swear by it. Takes a lot of time, super tedious, but I think you end up with a better team.
Yeah, I think it's important to find strategies that work for yourself, right? It's mm-hmm. it's good to hear what other people do, but you got to do what works for you. And if you have a system that works, right, go by it. And I think Ryan Devaney talked a lot about his dynasty strategy and how he's like found something that works, so he sticks to it. And mm-hmm. I appreciate that because I do something similar with my dynasty leagues. But back on the people or players we're excited about, I think the entire Washington Commanders offense, I'm excited to see what Eric Bieniemy can do. And I think since he's arrived, you've noticed how Ron Rivera's like completely changed his tone on Antonio Gibson. Mm-hmm. I feel like Eric Bieniemy's just been like, yeah, this dude's actually good. You should give him the ball, you know? So I'm excited for him. I also think Logan Thomas is an underrated tight end that you can snag with your last pick if you wanted to. If you go like zero tight end till the end. But obviously, I think Sam Howell is going to do okay. I don't think people are thinking he's probably going to just be terrible, but he absolutely torched the Cowboys in week 18 last year. So we'll see what he could do given a full offseason and learning a new offense.
I agree with everything you said. I'm just curious, how would you rank these three quarterbacks, Jordan Love, Desmond Ridder, Sam Howell for next year?
Just for next year?
Don't judge like fantasy, because like I know Sam Howell rushes the ball a little bit, just like in terms of like being able to provide for their fantasy assets.
I'll probably take the Commanders because
the enemy.
Well, I think that, and I don't think their team's very good, so they're probably going to have to throw the ball more and do stuff like that. So, mm-hmm. Yeah, I'll take Sam Howell and the Commanders.
What about you, Derek?
Who was my other option?
It's Howell, Jordan Love, and Desmond Ridder.
I would say none.
I kind of feel you.
It's basically three rookie quarterbacks when it boils down to.
Yeah.
And I think there's been a weird amount of optimism. All three of them, they'll have their games, but being able to pinpoint when they're going to be is going to be the struggle.
Mm-hmm.
But as far as talent in those offenses, I mean, Dotson and McLaurin, I think, are superior to Dobbs and Watson. And then you got Drake London and Pitts are probably second, maybe, in that list of positional talent.
Plus, they'll throw the ball like 12 times.
Yeah, I mean, we'll see. I don't know. Ridder is another mystery box, and nobody's excited about that mystery box, but we really don't know what a full training camp and off-season regimen as the projected starter is going to do for him. Mm-hmm. I mean, it wasn't that long ago when we didn't know what the heck Jalen Hurts was going to be.
Exactly.
Yeah, Winnie's a Jalen Hurts fan. Well said, tried and well true.
Said. You hear it's Jalen Hurts?
Jalen Hurts.
You probably say that word. You probably say his name like 50 times a day. Your first words is going to be Jalen Hurts.
Well, I mean, I'm kind of sad Miles Sanders is gone because now there's nobody on the team that has my son's name. But that was just a happy coincidence. We did not name our son after an Eagles player.
I'm glad to hear that. Also surprised.
I'm getting sideways glances from my wife, who has never heard the podcast, I'm sure. So this is her first live show that she gets to tune into.
Is it dinner time?
It's probably dinner time, yeah.
Probably dinner
time.
It's about
that time. I think it's time to quit. Yeah, we'll wrap it up. This has been the first edition from the kids' bedroom of Almost Sunday Fantasy Football Podcast. Winnie is closing us out right now with her babbling. And we're looking forward to talking to you again. The season's just around the corner. Plenty of fantasy football to be discussed. And we'll be back with another episode soon. Bye-bye.